I'm Mitch McCann. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soul partner in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom to everyone, and may you all be experiencing that joyful peace that passes all understanding. Let's give God the glory.
Praise to you, Father, our glorious one, who protects us from the storms of life. Lord, we don't know what waits us tomorrow, and we can't even steal from today's sunshine. But even if tomorrow is cloudy, we look at the silver lining that awaits us in your glorious kingdom, where the sun is always shining. We petition your blessing on tonight's program as we offer up to you our recent prayer requests and for the salvations of all our loved ones and the many affected by calamities. May new salvations spring forth. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So, four aerial objects in 8 days?
Well, the first one was an definite spy craft from China. The other three are still questionable, but we're using high-cost missiles to shoot down what may be just a large metallic birthday balloon while claiming they were defeating the objects.
What could they mean by using the word defeating?
I know. Well, some are asking, could this be the beginning to a massive psyop to try to imply that aliens are invading the Earth's atmosphere while denying that possibility? Who knows? But we have always said when the rapture comes, they'll just say, aliens took us.
Just setting the stage for our departure.
So stay tuned.
Our southern border continues to be a major problem.
And now we have more proof that China is working closely with the cartels, not only with distributing fentanyl, but also sneaking through Chinese nationals to further infiltrate us to do who knows whatever that they are commanded to do. Perhaps spread another bioweapon that Bill Gates and others are telling us to brace for, and that it will be more brutal than COVID. And it has been leaked that Gates told the world leaders at the G20 conference that it's time to start talking about death panels.
For who?
Probably us law-abiding conservatives or senior citizens for the crime of being no use to society.
As in euthanasia.
Well, the WEF calls them useless eaters. And they're saying that the bird flu continues to spread, and one UK expert insists they start working on a vaccine, even though the risk to humans is increasing daily. And the CDC approves 3 COVID jabs for babies, in addition to the 37 doses of vaccine routinely given before 18 months, even though the government's own website, VAERS, admits now to 31,000 deaths from the shots.
And we know how underreported that is.
Yes, and does not account for the thousands, perhaps millions of adverse, some debilitating side effects.
War in Ukraine continues.
And where many say it's a precursor to World War III.
Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars.
Yes, and Americans in Russia are advised to depart immediately due to risk of arrest and terror threats, especially now, since finally news is breaking that the Biden administration did indeed bomb Russia's Nord Stream pipeline last year, killing oil going to Europe.
And crime keeps escalating.
Yes, the most recent on college campuses. But it seems that self-defense is now illegal, as that 73-year-old rancher protecting his property is finding out.
Well, they want our guns big time.
Anyhow, keep in prayer those families of over 35,000 killed in Turkey's earthquakes. May they find Jesus through all this. And also pray for those affected by the train carrying those deadly cancer-causing chemicals that derailed in Ohio. That, by the way, we have just learned recently, they really are high, have high toxicity levels. The animals and fish are dying, and people complaining of headaches and burning eyes.
Any good news?
Well, yes. Actually, Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel is making historical changes to their justice system, much to the dismay of the left. And how nice to see the Jesus Gets Us ad, and it went on twice during the Super Bowl.
We must keep planting those seeds any way we can.
Always.
Okay, if you have any, if you have questions or comments, our email is sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are much needed, more than ever, and greatly appreciated, which automatically adds you to our mailing list for the newsletters. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your learning.
Okay, so we've been teaching on the seven letters to the seven churches. And thank you for your notes of approval. I'm getting some really nice ones. And this week we want to pick it up at Philadelphia, the born-again church. Remember, not only were they historically local churches, but also prophetically arranged, and to describe the consecutive years of church history from apostolic to the end times, which ends with the lukewarm church. Each letter has an opening name and a title of Jesus Christ from the first chapter.
Except one.
Yep, that church is exceptional.
And we'll talk about that in a minute.
But you can get a flavor for the substance by the title that he uses for himself that is different in each letter. And there is a commendation, a criticism, a correction as to what to do, like an exhortation. Then there's a call or a closure,
with a promise and a challenge to overcome.
But we'll notice the last four churches where the closure and the promise is reversed from the first three churches, due to the fact that the last four churches, prophetically speaking, are still here today. By the way, for you very serious students, we have a detailed 11x17 paper chart that outlines each of the seven churches in Revelation, so to see the entire scope and the differences between these churches. And get this, this chart also shows how they match Paul's letters to seven different groups of believers, and also matches the parables of Matthew 13.
And it's all on one sheet.
So just write us to request one at P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And please include any offering, any at all, to cover the postage and handling.
The first three churches we have covered in detail.
Yes, but I think we should do a quick summary for the new listeners.
Yes.
Okay. So Ephesus, of course, means darling. That was the beginning church from 32 to about 100 A.D., and it started out gung-ho, but unfortunately lost its first love of intimacy, you know, that espousal love. They held on to a tradition, but they lost the hunger to grow closer.
Smyrna.
Whose name means myrrh, embalming spice, and that was from about 100 to 300 A.D., highly paganistic. Therefore, Smyrna Christians were highly persecuted and just told to remain faithful to the end, to overcome, and would not be hurt by the second death.
Pergamos.
That means mixed marriage from like 312 to 606. It was the capital of Asia Minor. It was a precursor of the Dark Ages, where paganism is now welcomed when the church marries the world. Beginning of the one world religion. And remember, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says nothing new under the sun.
And it's coming back.
It is. So the next letter is
Thyatira.
Right, which means continual sacrifice. And that started in 606 and is still here today. It's the one world and only church till the Reformation. But, again, it's still here today where the first three are gone. This church, for the first time, has terrible judgments pronounced, and the Lord assumes his supreme title, Son of God. To the first three churches, he revealed himself in attributes that would stimulate faith and call for dependent trust. But now, judgment with flaming eyes.
So it's always an attention getter.
Bronze and fire always means judgment.
Sardis.
Well, that means remnant, the escaping one. Started the Protestant movement from in around 1517, and it's still here today. They broke away from the powers of pagan Rome, that political church. They were called the Reformation, but more of a head knowledge. They were missing the spirit and lacked looking for Jesus.
Yeah, and prophecy was ignored.
And God called them out on that.
Next is the born-again church.
That's us. The Church of Philadelphia, meaning brotherly love, in our main topic tonight, which began around 1730.
We're the pearl in the hidden treasure of Matthew 13.
Yes, and it's the only church to open up with a different title for Jesus Christ that's not in chapter 1. And the only church other than Smyrna that has no criticism. And remember, three of the four churches still here today has a flare of judgment.
But we don't.
Nope. And Philadelphia opens by speaking of his holiness and truth, no criticism, and a great promise in verse 10 that this church will escape the trials coming to test the earth dwellers.
Well, you know, earth dwellers is an idiom for the unrighteous.
Yep. We'll say it a lot of times, too. This began the Holy Spirit revival time. John Wesley, George Whitefield, and many others, who around this time came to America and birthed the missionaries when God gives them an open door all over the world.
So that was the birth of revival.
And by 1739, there was Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, William Carey, who went to India.
And so many more.
So let's read it, and we'll comment as we go along.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens."
Jesus has the key of authority. Now looking at typology, and by the way, the only other place that mentions the key of David is in Isaiah 22, verse 22, when Hilkiah's son Eliakim would be elevated as the king's steward and is given the key of David.
Which is an idiom for authority.
Eliakim, a type of Christ, was to act as the king's, which was a type of God the Father, controller over the kingdom. Jesus, we know, is sent with the authority of the Father, with control over all things in the coming Messianic kingdom. For your homework this week, please read John 5, especially verses 22, 23, and 30, and also John chapter 6, verse 44. So, please continue in Revelation 3, verse 8.
"I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you."
Okay, those who say they are Jews but are not, rather of the synagogue of Satan, was the same phrase, if you remember, used in Smyrna. And he's pointing to the descendants of Esau, who were later called Edomites because they settled first in Edom. And then they settled in Israel using their Greek name, the Idumeans. And then they were forced to be proselytized into Judaism. So they claimed to be Jews, yet really were not, especially, and this is the main point, not in their heart. Then one of the Idumeans who were promoted by the Romans, his name was Herod the Great, king of Israel in 37 B.C. And by the way, he had many descendants and future kings of Israel.
So Rome thought the Jews would accept them better if they converted.
Oh, yeah, because they claimed to be Jewish, even if they were evil converts. When the Romans in 70 A.D. burned down the temple, they renamed the whole area of Israel Palestine, therefore no longer called Idumea. And when the Jews left in the diaspora, most Idumeans stayed and therefore took on the geographical name of the Palestinians. Remember, you take on the name of where you reside.
So, as we frequently say, the Palestinians are descendants from Esau.
That is correct. Verse 10.
Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
Now, one of our favorites, this is the verse that I love the most, and mainly we know that this is the tribulation because he uses the phrase to the whole world. So, this judgment is coming upon the earth dwellers, and he said he'll keep us out of it. And I believe that truly in my heart and soul. We're gone, fellow believers.
Amen to that.
Okay, verse 11.
Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown.
Meaning any of your rewards.
He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more.
That refers to our constant position in his presence forever.
I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which come down out of heaven from my God.
In Revelation 21, that'll happen at the end of the Messianic kingdom.
And I will write on him my new name.
Well, in Revelation 19, it says his name will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
By the way, that phrase is never used after chapter 3. Think about that. It's only used one time later, and that's in chapter 13. And it only says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. And it leaves out to the churches.
Well, that's another clue. We're not here.
Indeed, and it's a great clue. Huge clue. We have had actually hundreds of clues from time to time over just our generation when knowledge has really increased, just like Daniel 12 said it would.
Yeah, 1948 was that turning point.
For sure, with the establishment of the State of Israel, you know, the fig tree that got its leaves, it was the first step of the time of the end and the last generation. Next was in 1967 when they won the Six-Day War and won back sovereignty over Jerusalem. But they did allow the Arabs just to oversee the Temple Mount as a good gesture.
You know, they can take that privilege back any time they want to.
But they won't, because it would stir up a real ruckus, and they'll admit that. And, unfortunately, we do know from Scripture that they will actually give up their sovereignty, too, as part of the Daniel 9 peace covenant. We know that from many other Scriptures. And that will bring down God's judgment. That will be the beginning of the tribulation, because Jerusalem is his particular land that he has placed his name there. His initial of the letter Sheen looks like a W that stands for Shaddai, which is embedded into Jerusalem using the three valleys. It's really quite extraordinary. So, the clock is ticking, for I know we are that last generation before his return. In other words, there will be people alive still at the rapture that were living in 1948.
Yeah, like you.
Just think, we saw the first computers to hit the mass market. I remember going to work and seeing them in the one room. They were so big, it took up the whole room. And, of course, now look at what's happened. They're so small, oh my. And now artificial intelligence, which will play a major role in fulfilling prophecy. And we're watching the one world church really coming together right now.
And back to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah. Immorality is it's just awful. And the computer chips for the mark of the beast, for it's the only means available by which every person may be numbered and continually monitored with the help of the almost ready digital currency for the cashless society. Everything is on its way. It's just amazing to see the Bible come true. So, yes, actually, a lot has happened in this generation. In fact, Jesus really couldn't have come back before today because these things were not in place. But they are now, with just a little more tweaking planned by the elite's great reset. So, next time, we'll look at the Church of Laodicea. And just a hint, Laodicea was a city of great wealth, was sort of a Las Vegas vacation town. Its main industry was financial banking and clothing, especially of black wool, with a great medical school famous for its eye salve, where a famous ophthalmologist practiced medicine. And isn't that fitting that Jesus would use that analogy, especially today, with so many eyes blurred to the real truth? I just love Jesus. But it's time to ask you, do you love Jesus? Is Yeshua Lord over your life? Will you escape the awful tribulation? It really is coming. We've had so much warning. You know, Luke 21 says anyone can miss the tribulation with just a meaningful prayer. Repent and invite him inside your innermost being, your heart and your soul, your whole body. And then, of course, start reading his word and let him rule over you instead of the God of this world who has been ruling your life, whether you were conscious of that or not. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in between. And to those of you who are saved but lukewarm, as we'll talk about next week, wake up and get your act together now. You got to store those treasures, and you got to be careful not to lose any rewards. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our leaders and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in a lot of ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.